for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. Loveline, I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Tracy Lords is our guest tonight. Tracy has herself a new book called Underneath It All. It's been out a couple of weeks. 3 weeks?
Yeah, about three and a half.
I've seen Tracy making the rounds, doing the talk shows. Tracy was on this show when, Drew?
2 years ago.
Good grief. January 2001, I read off the sheet. I can't believe it's been that long. I cheated.
Oh, where's the time gone? I had a rare moment where I was actually thinking about this show during the day.
No.
Yeah.
Were you hallucinating? Were you drunk? Or what?
I drank a little wine, and I thought, maybe I should think of some questions for Tracy Lords. And then I thought, no. Just let your God-given ability take over. So I'm kind of waiting for that to kick in. So
could be waiting a little while, I guess.
Shh, don't screw it up. No, nothing?
No.
Okay. Tracy, now I'm not sure, and you tell me.
I'm not sure where to start,
okay,
are you?
Well, no, but because Tracy is, you've probably had.
By the way, I've been watching your show.
You have? Uh-huh. What, the man show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
you
kind
like
of,
that?
Well, it's sort of like a traffic accident.
Thank you. Can't help it. I've been told I have attractive feet, too.
Oh, here we
get
go.
Into that
here
later.
We go.
But
what's with the chicks
sandals
on the trampoline is what I want to know.
That's
whose brilliant idea was that?
I think that was Jimmy Kimmel's brilliant idea.
Really?
The girls on trampoline started as a joke. Like,
but nothing moves on these women when they
yeah.
jump.
Yeah.
What is that about?
Yeah.
Plastic surgery.
That's right.
Is it yeah. just like all...
Well, you're natural beauty. Other women need augmentation.
But yeah. they don't yeah. move at all.
Well, I think it's because...
It's kind of like, you know, Hawaii Five-0 and McGarrett's hair. Yeah. never
oh,
moves.
That's where you got your Lords, right?
That's right.
I think I saw the E! True Hollywood story.
Oh,
or...
blah.
You didn't
the
like
E!
That.
Untrue Hollywood story.
You didn't
story.
Like that.
That...
Why not?
It's one of the many things that pissed me off so much that I wanted to write my book.
Mm. Why?
I mean, it's because
what did they get
it
wrong?
Was just all bogus. I remember when they were putting that together, and it was the mid-90s, like 96, 97, actually,
mm-hmm.
late 90s that they were putting it together. And there was a period of time when I really didn't want to talk about my past as a teenage porn star. I was just like, you know, really wanted to build my resume and just leave it behind me because I had spoken about it so much
yeah.
right after it happened in 86, and it just kept getting, it was like the snowball effect.
Right.
Once somebody got one thing wrong and I was misquoted constantly and taken out of context and just, you know, I was pretty naive as far as the press went, really, with, like, I trusted hard copy and a current affair and, like, all the wrong people. It would have been, like, a no-brainer, but I did.
Yes,
so I saw everything really blown out of proportion, so I shut up for a long time.
Once a piece of erroneous information gets out there, then
it becomes fact.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's like my name being spelled wrong, which yeah. is now showing up on the back of jerseys and things now and publicity shots. Like the C-O-R is how everyone spells it, but it's spelled C-A-R. And it wasn't that big a deal 5 years ago. Now I've come to accept it. I'm going to get my
so
driver's.
You're going to change it?
I'm going to get a change. So you know why? Because they'll end up changing it back for
right.
me, and then I'll have won the battle. But yeah, once the erroneous stuff gets out there and it just gets under the carpet and under mm-hmm. the padding and into the subfloor of society,
people think
you
it's
never
the Bible.
Can steam clean it out.
Yeah, it's really hard.
Well, so anyway, so let me ask you a couple of questions. One is as far as your past goes, there was a time when you wanted to live it down, you didn't want to talk about it. Now,
I
it
needed
seems
some
like,
time to process.
Right.
You but have some treatment in the meantime.
Oh, I was going through it then.
Yeah.
But, while you're going through that, the last thing you want to do is try to justify yourself, or you have all those feelings of having to justify yourself.
Right.
But
that's not the place to be in when you're feeling really vulnerable.
Is it like one of these, you know, corny classic things, like, you know, there's denial, and then there's anger, and then there's acceptance. It's like, are you going through these stages with that part of your life?
Yeah, usually all at the same time.
But you do seem more you seem more comfortable now than you were like a couple of years ago, let's say.
Well,
you feel
it's that
way?
Onion effect, it really is. I think that in the late 80s, just being 18 and 19 and being relatively normal, which I really wasn't. I had a lot of stuff I had to deal with. But as far as being sane, I was shockingly sane in a lot of ways, but I just had a lot of the childhood stuff to deal with. I'd been raped when I was 10, and I had all this molestation stuff and these big trust issues and just stuff to deal with. And it took me years before I was even ready to go anywhere near that. You know, now in my 30s, I turned 35 in May, which I wear as a badge of honor because I think it's pretty cool to be a grown-up.
You're married now?
Yeah, for 2 years. But it was just really, and I had some amazing relationships in my 20s. It was never one of those things where I hated men, I didn't want anything to do with it. It's just, I accepted the fact that that is what I did, but I wasn't really ready to try to explain it to anybody else yet. And I think that, you know, I decided to come out and write my book now. It's been 17 years since I left, you know, the X-rated industry.
Is it an autobiography? Mm-hmm. I mean, is it just start from the beginning?
And no, it's not a pop-up book.
No. Well, there are some pictures, though.
Yeah.
They're good pictures.
Well, yeah. The first half of it's pretty heavy because it deals with, you know, just a lot of the issues and growing up in Steubenville and sort of a small-town girl and what happened and what drove me to the streets and why did I run away. And the second half of it is really, you know, it is a lot of the modeling pictures and kind of like a fan scrapbook, but it deals with the journey out, what happens to you after you've been labeled a sex symbol or a porn star or whatever. What happens when all that stuff, how do you move in society after that?
What do you think would have happened? Let's just say you were a husky gal. Say you had big calves and just big like Samoan calves and a big flat nose.
I would never be on the man show, would I?
No. But you wouldn't be here right now. I mean, maybe it would have. You think it would have saved you from this? I mean, let's just say you did. I know there's no way to answer this, but here's what I'm saying, Drew. Is this the core? So many women are abused, sexually abused, have all these horrible things happen. They call this show every night. But most women aren't blessed with beauty. I'm wondering how many of them would go that direction if they could. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, mm-hmm. when you're 15 and you're 180 pounds and you have, you know, kinky black hair, all you can do is sit home and be depressed. You can't run away to Hollywood and start doing movies.
Well, it's...
maybe it's a blessing
in
disguise.
It's a funny question, because to say that it is... you wish you weren't attractive is just kind of, you know, I don't buy into that either. I don't think that, but I do think that if it's a really attractive young girl, that you are definitely perhaps more preyed upon as I was, because I was developed really young. I was busty and I was, you know, just had that whole voluptuous
right.
thing and going on before I understood any of what my body was.
You were a victim, though. You'd already been victimized. And so it's just, you just became a professional victim.
Well, I thought at 11, I was convinced that this is what little girls were made for, which is really scary, but that is really what I thought. And it was reinforced constantly. Sex and violence were, you know, just so hand in hand for me that by the time I ended up on the streets in Hollywood, it was never that anyone held a gun to my head. And this is what I've tried to sort of put out. It's the fact that I was so rebellious and I was so sex for me was about power.
Right, control.
You know, absolutely. So I saw doing porn at 15 as the ultimate, you know, form of rebellion.
Do you talk to other women who are in pornography now?
I talk to other kids. I've been working with Children of the Night for about 12 years.
Now that you're sort of recovered and whatnot, how people who are still in that industry treat you?
You know, I haven't had anything to do with that industry in about 17, 18 years. And I haven't, you know, I don't travel in those circles.
But you don't even talk to any of them? They don't,
I have nothing to do with them. In the porn world... has really been very hostile toward me.
You're kind of blowing the cover a little bit.
Well, I think so. And I think that, you know, the only negative criticism I've really gotten from writing this book has been from people from the porn world who have come out and said, you know, she really dug it and she was this and she was that and, you know, whatever. I don't really, you know, get what the point is, but
This is the thing that people misconstrue. If somebody is having an experience on the surface, doesn't matter what's happening underneath. It doesn't count.
Plus, when you look back at what was going on in your mind at 15...
Anybody.
16, 17.
Yeah.
Yes, I really feel like if the right people had come into my life, they could have talked me... I could have killed somebody.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if the right... they'd have to move me along slowly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was going to be my next question. I was going to ask, you know... Drew always talks about the history of abuse and what gets women into that business and so on and so forth. But, you know, I wonder if a steady diet of neglect, all sort of mixed in with this slowly moving along. We'll take some topless pictures first. There's a little more money in it if you take your panties off and slowly get into it.
It's the self-esteem, and it's...
Yeah, I don't think anyone hops right in. I think it's a slow build.
Yeah.
It's being starved that way. It's the...
It's also, you know, most people perceive a boundary to how far they'll go with that. Well, if you need it, you keep going.
Yeah. And also, it's sort of boiling the frog. Don't throw it in the boiling pot. Put it in the cold pot, turn the heat on, and slowly cook it. You know what I mean? I mean, that's how the porn industry works, doesn't it?
No matter how destructive or scary or, you know, violent at times that world, and I'm not just talking about being in the porn, but that time of my life, because there were drugs and there were, you know, an abusive guy that was, you know, kind of beating the crap. And I mean, I went through all of
Jeremy.
It at 15. No, it actually wasn't him. But no matter what was going on, there is a really, and this might sound really twisted, but it was a community in a way.
Uh-huh.
And when you've got a kid with no, you know, family really there,
runaway on the streets,
that becomes the family.
But it was a recapitulation of the kinds of things you experience in your family
Absolutely.
Of origin. So.
All right, yeah. Drew, you brought up a big word. That means we got to go to the phones. All right, Marissa?
Yeah?
17.
What's up?
I need your guys' opinion. When, between the ages of 3 and 7... I was molested by 3 very important people in my life. My grandfather, my babysitter's husband, and my best friend's older brother. And it like
was your babysitter's husband was a very important person in your life?
Yeah, because they had been like they'd been my babysitter since for like 2 or 3 years. So I'd see him like every day.
All right.
You know, and as a little kid, you get close to these people,
sure.
and you trust them.
Right.
But, so, when I was little, you know, that had happened to me, and, it's gotten so bad that, I don't speak to my grandfather. I don't even acknowledge him as that, and it kills my mother.
Does your mother know what went on?
Yeah, I told her...
Did she do it to him? Did he do it to her, rather?
He did it to most all of my family.
Yeah. He abused everyone in the family.
So, mm-hmm. so it breaks your mother's heart that you're not talking to a guy who should have a bullet in his head?
Huh.
Yeah. All right. But wait, I know you didn't hear me, but that's really not the point of the show. It's true. It's really for me to talk and hear myself. Where's your dad?
My dad lives in Texas.
Mm-hmm. Throughout all this.
He was never really a father figure to me. He was really abusive to my family. I was the only one who never, you know.
All right, so let me just make sure we got all this straight. Now, does your mother believe you?
Yes.
Has anyone ever confronted your grandfather?
Yes.
And so it's out in the open?
Yes.
People know he did this.
Has he been prosecuted for this?
No.
Why not?
It would kill my mom, and he's, you know, my family thinks, oh, he's just an old man, just, you know, let him live the rest of his life.
No.
And I don't...
He's lived long enough. he's gotten by
quite
well.
Listen, this man who's taken the Hippocratic Oath says he's lived long enough. I agree.
Was your mother abused, do you think?
I believe so. She denies it.
And was this your father that did some of this stuff to you?
My father...
Hang on one second, Marissa. Marissa, hold on. Stop. Stop. Hold. Was it someone within the family?
No, it was my mother's boyfriend.
Okay. Because that's
my parents split up early.
Somehow
And I saw him as a father figure, definitely. I mean, I really trusted him. He was there. Really early on.
It's the
cycle.
It's the creepiest thing a guy can do.
Silence is absolutely poison.
Yeah.
You know, you think, I always thought, it's my fault.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on? I must have done something. It was my body. It was because I was developed. It was because of this.
But in one way, making it your fault as a child keeps you in control of it, too. It's a little bit of a grandiose posture. It's like, well, you don't dare try to think of what's going on that creep's mind, you think, well, I cause this. I'm in control of this, which is how children automatically think about these things.
Hey, Marissa,
mm-hmm.
have you gotten any counseling?
Yeah. When I was in, I guess, 6th and 7th grade is when it really started to hit me, you know, because that's when I was like, oh, my God, this actually happened to me, and, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, my therapist and my counselors at school kind of broke my trust and... it's made it hard for me to.
All right. Hey, Marissa,
yeah.
Listen, well, here's the deal. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can go ahead and hate your grandfather. You don't have to talk to him, and you can completely boycott him. Your mom, you don't have to listen to anything she says about it either, because she's a victim, and she never got her help. And what you don't want to do is end up being like your mom, which is 45 and in denial.
And also this business of breaking the trust is usually nonsense.
He screwed that when he screwed you a long time ago.
No, her therapist broke the trust.
I'm talking about...
He was looking for reasons to get out of therapy, really.
Yeah. All right, so, listen, are you going into high school? You're going to be a senior next year?
Uh-huh.
So, you need to get your grades up and go somewhere far away to college. Can you do that?
Well, I'm keeping my grades up. I'm trying to stay out of it. But, see, what my problem is my past has really affected my outlook on, like, a relationship on a guy.
Yes, of course.
I'm one of those girls. All the guys, you know, are my friends, you know. And yeah.
Well, talk to Tracy. Maybe she can give you some advice about this.
All the guys.
You want Tracy to come by her place?
Well, she could if she wants to. It's only, you know.
True.
Do you have anything to offer? She doesn't know how to trust men again, basically.
Well, she's in high school right now, and I would say that you hit it dead on when you said the grades. Really concentrate on your school right now, and I would say read everything I can get my hands on, because there are a lot of great books out there that could possibly give you some insight. And as far as dating, you've got plenty of time. I wouldn't worry so much about. I think you're absolutely right to be cautious about the kind of boys that you're interested in, because, you know, these patterns do start early, and you probably will pick the wrong ones.
Yeah, so don't get pregnant and don't give it up. And if you want to have, like, a 5-year lesbian relationship, that's fine.
I don't know about that either.
How is your sister?
She doesn't get pregnant that way.
I was reading the beginning part of your book and worrying about her, too. Is she?
I have 3 sisters, and they are all still standing, and they're all, you know, grown up and pretty well adjusted for the most part. And I have to say, my family has been pretty PO'd at me for writing this book. In particular, some of my sisters.
Why?
Because they feel that it's an invasion of their privacy, even though I have completely left them out of it, other than acknowledging that I have 3 sisters. But, you know, in my family, there's this whole thing of keeping secrets, which is what she's talking about right now.
Right.
And I don't believe that this kind of stuff should be kept a secret in families. This is what poisons, this is what goes down from generation to generation, as in my family. This happened to my mother, too.
Of course.
It happened to her mother. I mean, it's just...
I know. I don't know why society is not more interested in these patterns. Drew and I marvel at it every night. Everything is just exists in a vacuum, and it's an isolated incident.
Everything
and
unique and novel.
Yeah,
and
we always
individuals.
Know. Yeah, if somebody sees fit to bring home a guy who's going
to
feel up their daughter,
we know that girl,
that woman, that mother was molested as well. And the only way to sort of break that chain without sounding too cliche is to shine a little light on it.
Well,
where does the buck stop? Exactly. And, you know, one of the things that I've been pointing out, I've been doing this book tour for about 3 weeks now, is that there is nothing really unique about my story.
Are you getting a lot of survivors? Abuse survivors?
I'm getting
forward?
A lot. Yeah. Hey. Especially at the signings, women coming up and saying, this happened to me. And I, you know, it's just, there are so many, you know, young women out there that this has happened
to. Oh, yeah. Nathan?
Yeah.
What's up?
I've been bull riding here lately, and I was wondering.
You've been bull riding?
Yes, sir.
All right.
I was wondering if that could make me sterile.
I imagine.
Drew, what about getting gored in the sack? Would that do anything?
Or smashing your nuts into the hump of a Brahma bull. Yeah, that might have some effect on testosterone and sperm production. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I can see where it might. I mean, you know, I don't want to reach, but yeah, it might.
Mm-hmm.
You could always bottle some up for later use.
I did that. I froze my hamper 3 weeks ago. Hey, Nathan?
Yeah.
That was for trying to control the world population.
Yeah. I dipped it in liquid nitrogen. Hey, how long have you been riding them bulls, Nathan?
2 years.
2 years.
Since you were 14, riding bulls. Wow.
And how's that going?
People must, in that sport, is that the word, should talk about those things, right? How to protect yourself, how to, I mean, they must know.
You wear a cup?
No.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a pussy to do that?
Evidently it is in most sports, I've found out from talking to athletes. You wear a flak jacket?
No.
You don't?
No.
I thought they had to wear those these days after guys got gored and stuff.
Flap jacket? You mean a vest?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have to. It's mandatory.
Right. That's what.
Oh, okay.
Said.
Let me grab a pen. I learned so much from our listeners.
Yeah, he has to because he has to.
You know how I learn from our listeners? I say something, and then eventually they repeat it back to me. I just said flak jacket because it's like basically a bulletproof. Looks like an army, something you'd wear to stop bullets. All right. Anyway. All right, Nathan. Hey, maybe you shouldn't have any kids.
Okay.
Maybe you ought to talk to
We don't need all these little auctioneers running around.
Talk to the senior riders. Maybe they got some advice for you. I don't know nothing about
bull riding.
Riding no bulls, no.
No, but you'll be fine. And you know what? If you work real hard and you're the best in the world, one day they give you a belt buckle.
No, I think more than that. It's like $2 million.
It's a $2 million belt buckle.
No, it's cash.
It's cash?
Yeah.
No, it's not a cash. It's one of those novelty-sized foam checks they give you. And I think it's worth something.
Publisher's Clearinghouse check?
Yeah, those big ones that show up on easels.
Yeah, of course.
That's my dream, to get a check on an easel. True, write that down. All right, Nathan. I have a list of things I'd like to accomplish before my life is through. True, you know some of them.
Yeah.
I'd like to have to jump into a river, stream, or body of water with a knife in my mouth.
Oh, yeah.
But have to.
Yes, to be to do something.
Yeah.
And to then grab that said knife with your registered hands.
I'd like to have my hands registered somewhere, even if it's a smaller state
as
or city.
As a weapon.
Registered as a weapon. Not as a tampon or anything. I like them registered as a weapon.
And then insure parts of your body.
I'd like to have something insured.
Your feet.
Legs or feet, possibly ass.
How about your mouth?
I like my mouth insured. It's a good idea. How dare you? I would like to have. I would like to have a reason to have a cape removed from me, where I come out,
sort of do that,
and somebody takes the cape off of me. Again, these are things I can't just stage. I need to actually have to do it.
It has to be. It can't. Yeah, it can't be a pretend.
Yeah, I like to be thrown out of a casino for winning too much, you know, possibly coming up with a system that beat the system. And now I'm adding to the list giant novelty check on an easel presented to me.
There you go. It'll be a full life if you accomplish all that.
Yeah.
I think you should have it documented as well. What do you think?
The easel check?
Yeah.
Yeah, there'll be photographers there. Tracy Lords is in our studio tonight. Underneath It All is the name of the new book. Been out for a couple of few, doing quite well, thank you.
And I'd like to go on record as offering my documenting services.
Would you? Yeah, because I'm going to need somebody there. It's like Guinness World, right? You know, when you try to make a run at the push-up record or something, you need a witness. All right, Drew, remove my cape. I'm going to the bathroom. We'll be back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Tracy Lords is here tonight. Underneath It All, name of the new book.
Now, having a good review by Publishers Weekly is a big deal.
Yeah.
It's a big deal.
Drew's got a new book.
Yeah, I got a good review, too, and they made a huge deal of it. I'd never heard of Publishers Weekly.
Oh, yeah.
And they made a big deal out of it. I thought,
he came down to the BEA.
What's a BEA?
The BEA Book Fair. It's a big, huge
the HarperCollins put on a big party for all the new authors.
What's BEA stand for?
Book question.
Enterprises and others. I don't know.
HarperCollins.
We both fail.
Are they the ones who did our book?
No. These guys are for real.
Who did our book? Who?
Hang on.
Bantam?
No.
Cramp House?
Yes.
S-House?
They had another name. Yes, they had another name, too.
Those idiots. Couldn't the terrorists have just flown the plane into that building? Nicole?
Uh-huh.
You're 17?
Uh-huh.
What's up?
I'll be 18 soon, and I haven't started my period yet.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been checked out for that?
No, because I just barely moved here, and I haven't gotten my doctor yet.
All right. Well, it's time. 17, you really should be. How much do you weigh?
About 175.
Yeah, you've never had a period.
Mm-hmm.
Are you on any medication?
No.
Why do you ask how much? But doesn't thin stop your
period?
Yes,
that's
where
I was going.
But big will stop it too, right? Your vagina pushes together.
Yeah.
Your thighs get really big and it closes you?
Big raises your estrogen levels and can make you anovulatory, so you can bleed a lot or a little, but you don't never have a period.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't ever.
And I guess it could figure into the function of the hypothalamus and the pituitary, which is what regulates your period, but You know, you got to make sure that structure your uterus is okay. You got to make sure that you know, genetically you're okay. There's lots of things that have to be tested. So go get it checked out.
All okay.
Right? All right, it's time.
All right. Thank
all right.
You.
Yeah. Hey. Uh-huh. But you know, good times, right?
Yeah.
175. That means 190. Maybe you should lose a few pounds.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you doing about that?
Well, I recently bought a treadmill.
All right.
Good.
Okay.
Dry your clothes on that thing.
Keep going.
Really? Really? What have we turned into as a country? You got 17-year-olds got to grab a treadmill? Aren't you supposed to be kicking a can or playing stickball or something? Chasing butterflies?
Well, you're told to get more exercise.
I know, but not the way George Jetson gets it.
Yeah, it's all right, though. We're progressing.
I don't know. I don't like that.
I can understand why you're uncomfortable with it, but it's...
But no one ever uses a treadmill.
Yeah, but we're really trying to establish physical, you know,
here's
conditioning
the
at a younger age.
I know. It's called Socko and Smear the Queer.
Yeah. Again, that's guy stuff. I know girls do that kind of
girls thing. Girls play tennis or they play volleyball.
All right.
I mean, they jog. Like, yeah. Here's what I'm saying.
Treadmill, jogging.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Treadmill is what you get when you don't exercise. Like, this is your life.
You don't do anything else.
Here's the people that use treadmills.
Wait a second. I use a treadmill.
Ex-porn stars.
I'll f*** you.
Oh! Tracy dropped the F-bomb, everybody.
Not in a sort of a lighthearted way.
No.
It was quite...
I think he deserved that.
Well done.
I'm sorry.
You
will be fine.
It's unacceptable.
Captains of industry use it because they're, you know, they're power walking while they're having conference calls and stuff.
Yes, yes.
And then people who've never been able to exercise try to trick themselves into, you know, if I can get it, I'll put it home, I'll put it in front of the TV. They never end up doing it.
Yeah.
Now that you should get to when you're in your early 40s and you've never been able to get it together. Mm-hmm. At 17, you need to put a pair of shorts on and hit the road.
All right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I'm just saying, when you stop using the treadmill at 17, where do you go from there?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Drew.
Well done.
Blah, blah, blah.
It's well said.
Yeah.
There's something to it.
I think Tracy likes me. Because it's like, schoolyard stuff. Like, you know, where you tug on the hair and punch in the arm.
She
and you
found
say,
me out.
You say F you to the guy you really love. Alan?
Yeah.
You're 21?
Yes.
What's up?
I've been dating this girl for like a little over a year now. And she's been pressuring me to go farther sexually than I'm comfortable with. Mm-hmm. And I was molested when I was 5 years old. And like what Dr. Drew said, like I think about a month ago, where someone would become hypersexual and someone would just sexually shut down.
Yeah, or back and forth.
Yeah, and like I just don't, like I like kissing her and I like holding her and stuff, but that's it. Like I don't have anything else. And anytime she ever pressures me, I get really nervous and then I like get prone to flashbacks and stuff.
Was this a male or female that abused you?
I'm a male.
A male abused you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you have any issues with your sexual orientation? Do you get confused about it?
Not at all.
No.
Mm.
No? Even I don't answer that fast. I'm like, Brad Pitt's not bad.
You and Jimmy.
I don't know. Jimmy, if you'd shave his back, I think I'd go for that. who did this to you?
Actually, it was someone my own age. I don't know his name.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And how many times?
Just once.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But when you're by yourself and you have your fantasies, are they with involving men or women?
With women.
Okay.
One time child on child does not have to be a huge deal.
And I'm wondering, he was five and the other kid was five. I'm just wondering why this is something you're sort of clinging to.
Because for him it was traumatic. That's why. I know you don't accept that.
Well,
it can be quite traumatic, but it doesn't have to be the end of your...
No, but in your book, Drew, a 36-year-old male doing it to a 5-year-old male is marginally worse than a 5-year-old on a 5-year-old, and I'm telling you, that is a different zip code altogether.
I'm with you.
And I don't know exactly what this 5-year-old did to you. I don't, there's only so much a 5-year-old can do is what I'm saying.
I can't get into it too much or else I'll get really upset, but I was forced to have oral with him.
Yeah, that's usually what happens.
I know that's not the best day of your life, but what I'm saying is the fact that this has made such a profound impact in your life, this one time with another 5-year-old, when for 95% of the population would have forgotten about it and moved past it. I worry that you're clinging to this thing. Well, and I think, Drew, you do that. Hey, if it affected him, we can't take that away from him.
No. Well, yes and no. Well, I think maybe what you're picking up on is sometimes when there's been an earlier trauma and then there's a less significant trauma down the road somewhere, it really is the one that triggers all the reactions.
Right. So that was it? Nothing, alcoholic, abusive stepdads or anything?
No.
And nothing happened before this experience with the 5-year-old.
And right. you're not a devout Jehovah's Witness or something?
I am saving myself for marriage religiously too, though. I'm Lutheran.
Because of your religious belief.
That's one of the reasons. Yeah.
Okay.
Right. What are you, by the way?
I'm a Lutheran Christian.
All right. And so, what's going on with the girlfriend now? She insists on going further.
We had a trial separation, and then we got back together after she pressured me, like, really badly a couple nights.
To come back together, or to have sex?
Just anything, yeah. Like, she'd want me to touch her and stuff. And
okay, Alan, what? Alan sounds like he's 21 going on 14, too.
Yeah,
not just because the experience part, it's just his mentality sounds that way. Sounds like a smart guy who's emotionally immature.
The biggest problem, Alan, is not... The problem now, in my estimation, not that you aren't prepared to have sex, you don't want to have sex, that's fine. You don't want to go further, that's fine. These are your parameters. They should be respected. The problem is, when you do get married, none of this is going to have changed. You're going to be equally as uptight, have flashback, be just as freaked out, and you're going to need some treatment for this. You might as well get on that right now, because getting married is not going to change your relationship to this trauma.
Yeah. He's not going to go counseling, though. He's religious. He's got God as his big counselor up in the sky, guy with the robe and sandals and the beard. He's the main counselor. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, but he can also
being super religious is really just an excuse not to do anything that way. It's easy. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You don't have to think about life. You don't have to think about counseling. You don't have to read any books. It's just, I got the God. I don't have to do anything. You know what I mean? I die, go to heaven. I get to be with my dog.
Alan would agree that that hasn't worked so far, so he maybe go a little further.
Well, it sounds like it's the loss of power.
Alan, you thinking about going to counseling?
I had a couple therapists, and some didn't work out, but some really did work out really well. And my insurance stopped paying for it, but I think that I could start going again.
Yeah, go back. Right. Pay out of pocket. Just you need it.
You're worth it, buddy. You're worth it. Take care of yourself.
Adam Carolla paid out of pocket for how many years?
For the shrink?
Yeah.
I always paid out of pocket.
But, I mean, how many years did you do that?
When I was poor?
Yeah.
Like
6 years?
Yeah, I could have had 6 years.
Did
the bedwetting stop?
No, I actually went to start bedwetting. A very unique case. I went to a hypnotist to start smoking, and I went to the shrink to begin bedwetting.
The bedwetting had stopped already. His grandfather stopped that.
Yeah, my grandfather. Why is everyone such an idiot in this society except for some old Jew from Hungary?
I brought you in the article, didn't I, that showed that the timing...
How many times have I been saying that?
Yeah.
I swear to Christ. I used to wet the bed when I was a kid, and it was all... And
Tracy's pretending she knew that. I'm cool. Yeah.
Here's my problem. My problem is I was a kid in the 70s, and back then everyone was either high or retarded or both, if you're my family. And so no one had any normal... common sense had gone out the window.
Yes.
You know, it's like, he's wetting the bed. His bladder's rebelling against the sheets.
Yes.
The man is coming, is stepping on his urethra.
Well, because we had
this
discovered...
This is the way he takes his emotions.
We finally discovered everything had come before was worthless. And
right.
We had rediscovered the meaning of everything.
Oh, so now, here's what I've been saying for years, although Drew has been giving me a slightly hard time about it. Every time there's a bedwetter there's medications you can take, or some people ought to get into therapy and discuss what's motivating this, and so on and so forth. My grandpa, step-grandpa, by the way, no blood there, because he was smart.
Corolla.
Old Jew from Hungary. He did the bedwetting math and said, look, when the kid falls asleep on the sofa at 9 o'clock at night, I'm going to be done watching Johnny Carson about 12:30. I'll swing by, wake him up, tell him to take a leak into a bucket. He'll fill that bucket halfway up. He'll go back to bed. He won't wet the bed. Well, sure enough, I never did because, at about the 4 or 5 hour mark when I was about to wet my grandpa's sofa, he woke me up and I took a leak. And I've just been saying to everyone, look, if you take, if you go
so
to bed.
So what you were was lazy.
I was lazy.
No, he was neglected. So he never got any.
No, I mean,
Yes, you were neglected.
I went to 4 or 5 hours after I went to sleep, I had to take a leak. And if someone woke me up, I would take a leak and go back to bed, and there wouldn't be a wet spot on the bed. But what I'm trying to say is I've been saying this. I mean, Drew, you never backed me up on this. But I
have backed you up since that article came out. I told you, I wasn't sure.
5 years I've been talking about it.
I didn't know this was really here.
I know you didn't know.
Here's
mortified.
She's like, I thought I had problems. Oh, Christ. This guy's got to write $5.
Bad, Jesus Christ.
Oh, I'll never complain again. I'll go apologize to my mom's boyfriend. Adam's horrible. So listen, I tell everyone, look, get one of those timers. I keep telling everyone, get one of those little kitchen timers.
Little
digital kind. Now, not the kind you want, just tick, 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 tick. You push in a few hours. If you're wetting the bed or doing whatever, you go to bed at 10 at night, punch it in for 3 hours. It'll go off. You get up, go stumble to the bathroom, take a leak in the sink, as I often do, and then get back in bed. I guarantee you're not. How can you wet your bed?
Yeah.
You just relieved yourself. What you think you're doing it because you're angry?
Look, she's got the obsessive compulsive.
You don't pee in the sink?
Oh,
no?
So gross.
No peeing in the sink?
No.
Really?
No.
Really?
Adam designs his bathroom so they're just Schwantz.
It's one big sink.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. No peeing in the sink.
Do you have dinner guests over often?
Well, they don't eat in the sink. They meet out of the toilet. No, I mean, that way I can look at myself while I urinate. You don't have no idea what you look like when you're peeing. I know exactly what I look like. Yeah, not so stupid anymore, is it, Drew?
You don't have a significant other, do you?
Yeah, I got a wife. She's fine.
You do?
I pay the bills. I buy that sink. I pee in it. Yeah. I buy the cleanser that cleans it. I buy the
maid
that uses the cleanser. I buy the brawny towels that she wipes it up with.
Oh, sure.
And also pay her the hush money. All right, we got to take a break. Tracy Lord's guest tonight. Look at her.
She's very impressed by your...
I think you've gotten worse.
No, I'm the same. Am I not, Drew?
Yeah, he's better.
No, worse. I thought that you were supposed to improve with therapy.
I pee in the sink. I've done it for years. I have no difficulties with it. I save water.
He's unleashed his internal...
I'm a tall man, Drew, and my penis isn't that long, so there's a good distance between where my urethra ends and the water begins in the toilet. And that's
that's
danger
splash.
Zone
gets,
there.
Gets all over the
I'm
wall
certain
and
it's
everything.
A health regulation. It's definitely a violation of something.
You know, ever since Drew told me urine was sterile, I've had the green light to do it just about everywhere.
There's an F hanging on your front door.
He has peed in the sink of every city we visited, every hotel we've stayed in.
Yeah, you know, some people collect salt shakers.
You guys are putting me on.
No.
You're
afraid, I'm afraid not.
That is really disgusting.
I'm afraid not.
All right. No, I'm just kidding, baby. I'll show you my feet later. I have great looking feet.
Don't spare me.
All right, we'll be back after this.
Somebody help me.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. All right, Tracy Lord's in studio tonight. She's got herself a new book out, Underneath It All. It's been out for about 3 weeks, and it's doing very, very well. It's a substantial piece of work. I'm going to guess 311 pages.
More than that.
287?
281.
Uh-huh. It's funny. I thought 280-something, and then I went to the low threes. Yeah, it's not too bad. Drew, how thick is your book?
I think it's 270.
Ooh, Tracy beat you.
She did.
But you know, the picture pages, because there are two color inserts
in there.
I've
got pictures too, though.
They're not, I don't think that those are counted.
Drew, count up the words in Tracy's book. No, that's not fair. Count up the letters in Tracy's book, and then count up the letters in yours, and get back to us, all right?
All right, I'll go.
Go now.
Okay.
But do it in the parking lot. Tracy and I need a little room to bond here. Do you like feet? Are your feet gown?
Now's not the time. She's just recovering from the urine in the sink stuff.
I got nice feet. Well, here's the thing.
Tell her you like to wash your hands all the time.
Let me tell you something about a man who would admit to urinating in the sink in front of a beautiful woman. That's a confident man. That's a very confident man.
There's a connection here between the bucket to the sink.
Ooh.
Yeah.
The pee bucket in the sink.
Pretty good, huh?
It's interesting.
It is interesting, huh?
Yeah. It's like I feel nurtured when I'm whizzing in the sink.
Yeah, you think your grandpa.
It's grandpa's old pee bucket.
Yeah. Exactly.
Feels like old home. I'm crying.
I still smell the residue of urine and mop and glow, you know, coming up. Wafting up from the bucket. That wasn't my pee bucket. That was the Corolla bucket. It was used for everything.
Del, what's going on? Del?
We were not a two-bucket family.
What's up? Hey, I have a problem. My girlfriend and I have been together about 3.5 years, and we've been having sex for about 2.5, and we've been using condoms all this time, and I want her to get on birth control, but I don't know. She doesn't give a reason why she doesn't want to. She just says she doesn't want to.
It would be great when we have birth control pills for men. That's been coming. It's been on the horizon for like 6 years now. When's it coming?
It's been on the horizon. It's been talked about since the female birth control's been out.
any day now for the last few years.
Yeah, but I worry because I think guys are going to lie and guys are going to miss, you know. Guys have not been indoctrinated into that take a pill every day sort of mentality, and I think a lot of guys are going to screw up and have a boner and not say anything and figure they're going to pull out. What the hell?
Right.
I think it's going to lead to more pregnancies.
Could be. We'll see. So, Del, what's the question for us?
I was wondering how I could, you know, talk her into doing it, or, you know, ask in a nice way, you know, how to, you know, talk to her about it. She just says no, and that's it, and she doesn't have a reason.
Well, here's what you got to do in the meantime. You got to get that morning after pill around. You got to keep that nearby, because if a condom fails or pulls out, slips off or something, you got to immediately take the morning after pill, okay?
She's not on the pill, or she is?
She is not, and he wants her to be.
All right. And
so until she does, get the morning after pill. But in the meantime, how about maybe going with her to the doctor? She needs to have pelvic exams regularly, and maybe sort of discussing it with a third party.
Okay.
Yeah, well, how about you paying for the pill?
I mean, that's not really the issue. But, you know.
Well, there are other options, though. She could also try a diaphragm if she's not comfortable with the pill.
Drew doesn't like that diaphragm.
I mean, diaphragm and a condom would be a good way to go, but she really wants to.
I mean.
Do you not like the pills?
I totally hate the pills.
Yeah, yeah, tell me. Just because it makes you feel bad? Or
The mood swings and just putting that in your body. I understand how a lot of women could be against that.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, she should check it out. I don't know. Del, I'm just wondering if you're going to be able to talk anyone in anything.
Well, now they have the ring, too.
The ring?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's still some of that is absorbed.
Yep. You get engaged, she'll let you bang the bejesus out of her. I agree with Tracy. First smart thing she said all night.
Raise an interesting point, though. Adding a second barrier does really increase the effectiveness of the barrier. So a condom and a diaphragm is very good.
All right. And you know what? Go on the internet. Yeah, yeah. She's turned the corner now. Get on the internet.
Now's the time.
Pull up a bunch of studies.
I've never really seen him quite this frisky before. I'm not sure what it is. I think it's my title, author, that turns him on.
I didn't beat off today, so I got kind of a full tank.
God.
I got a full tank. Oh, yeah. Sink's good for more than urine, I'll tell you that. Yeah. Yeah. Use it to wash it down sometimes, Drew.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Del.
Urine? I see.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. It's like hosing off a driveway, you know what I'm saying?
Del, it could be worse.
Yeah, Del, why don't you go on the internet, pull a bunch of stuff about how the pill lessens the chance of breast cancer or something, and how reduce the risk of ovarian cancer, see what you can pull up, reduce the risk of ovarian cancer, hit her with that,
and certain bone problems, and maybe uterine cancer. So we'll see.
Ashley,
SPIDs. Yeah.
You're 17. What's up?
Hi, I was wondering why, like, I get horny right before my periods all the time.
What is that, Drew?
Not all women get that. It's the rising levels of progesterone, basically, and that's what happens. Some women really respond to that, the androgenic effects, the sort of testosterone-like effects of progesterone. Some get shut down. Some women respond negatively to that.
All right, there you go. Bunch of words you don't understand.
Yes,
it's your cycling.
Midway.
Mid-cycle?
Mm-hmm.
Some women get
mid-cycle. You're ovulating. It's your body saying calm.
Some that would be nature's most effective way, right? But some get it during their period, too.
It's bad times there. In rut. Yeah. nothing worse than dipping the mutt in the rut. You know what I'm saying? That's bad times there.
He's on a roll
tonight.
Pull the
cork once in a while. But that's not for me. I just like to sit back. What Tracy doesn't know about me is I'm the number one
receiver
of oral in probably the Western United States.
Western Hemisphere.
Well, your wife must be a very patient woman.
She's a good woman, and she knows. I think there's a lot of pressure.
She's very lucky because he's number one at receiving.
Receiving. A lot of guys brag about giving. No, I receive. You know what I mean?
It's just yeah. being sarcastic.
I'll show you my technique. There it is. See the way I look up at the ceiling, Drew?
Disinterested?
Yeah.
That looked good.
Yeah, but here's the thing. You can't look like you're about to pull the pin on the ejector seat. You know what I mean? You have to have a sort of... But you want to be too... Too laissez-faire.
Devil may care.
Yeah, but let them know you're there. You know what I'm saying?
Be present.
I can't
don't care
explain
too much.
I can't explain it.
It's a unique talent.
It's a gift.
It can't be recreated.
No, you can't be taught in all school. That's right. not in no textbook. You can't write a book about how to receive oral. Drill.
Although you've tried.
I've written a couple books. Yeah. yeah. All right, Tracy.
For years, I thought that this was all just an act with you, and I'm horrified
the receiving
to see
of the oral?
That it really isn't. No, you.
Oh, how
the
dare
whole
you!
The whole beautiful you.
All right. I may not show you my feet.
Don't withhold that from her.
All right, Drew. Let's make a sync run.
Yeah, I'm good.
Tracy Lords is here. We'll be right back. Buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Drew's typing into his message reminder thing to call our radio agent. Tell him we want good coffee. And
speaking
we
of
don't want to have to pay for it.
God bless my agent came in screaming and yelling about how you treated me on the radio
what?
A couple nights ago.
What are you talking about?
By speaking disrespectfully to me.
What agent?
Not Bob. Not Bob.
No. Who, Howard?
No.
Your TV agent?
The guy at Endeavor.
The guy doesn't get you any TV work? Maybe he ought to get busy. What was I saying about you, Drew, that wasn't true?
You're saying something. It rolls off my back, just like you're saying.
I know.
I've been indoctrinated into it, so I don't know. But
I know. Was it me making fun of you for punching?
He doesn't really pay attention to you anymore.
I know.
Oh, it might have been the mic punching
you
thing.
Punching the mic on
it
a nightly basis?
That. Might have been that.
Do you know Drew cannot make a show without whacking the mic with his hand once or twice? Yeah. Tracy Lords is our guest tonight. Drew, you know I love you, don't you, buddy?
I know that, but he didn't know that.
Yeah, all right.
I know how you treat your friends.
My friends love me.
I know, but I know how you abuse them.
I don't abuse them.
I get off light.
Drew, you sit here and you're
see?
Passive-aggressive.
It's
that's
like an
why
old
you
married
disagree
couple
with
here.
Everything I say.
Didn't we hear this last night? This like...
You disagree with everything I say.
No, I admire and respect many of the things you say.
Thank you.
You're genius.
There we go. Okay, that's good.
Yes, sir, Miss Grohl.
Give me a warm-up, would you, buddy? My tea's gone cold. And not
so
much goddamn honey this time.
What's with the tea?
We're out of coffee.
What? We're out of coffee? Lauren, we out of coffee?
Yeah, we're out of coffee, and we have to pay for the coffee because...
No, I paid for it and got it already.
All right, I'm not paying for any more coffee. Let somebody else pay for the coffee. All right, Tracy Lords here tonight, by the way. Besides, I like the tea. It calms me. It's soothing. Plus, it goes through me faster. There's more sink urination.
Hey, by the way, the sink was too high for him in the men's room. So we were able to avoid the
commercial sinks. I find troublesome because there's a large space between where the counter stops and the sink begins.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
Maybe you can get some sort of an endorsement for sinks.
Maybe
porcelain, something.
Maybe there's some sort of trough I could invent, you know, like when they pour concrete, you know, and I could just strap it across my waist and let it hang so I could bridge that sink gap.
Yeah.
I'm going to work on that, Drew.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking of suing the company, too, for putting the sink too far from the edge.
For making you feel bad for your endowment.
Or lack thereof.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. No, Drew meant it the way you meant it, Tracy.
Oh, he says it with such a serious face.
It's not
He'd be very good at
Zach?
Yes, you're not.
You're 17?
Yeah.
What's up?
Only can I explain my problem first. Mm-hmm. I'm in recovery, and I got pretty heavily involved today and all that. And I find it pretty easy, like with alcohol. You know,
Drew fell over. Drew's not he's punching the mic. He just he did like a double suplex on it. Like he actually pile drove the mic.
Yeah, it
I'd rather be able to have access to the screen than damn
coffee.
All right,
you want the screen?
No, it won't pull over.
Oh, okay, sorry. They were growing pains, that's all right. Go ahead, Drew just fell over, that's all right.
That's fine.
Go ahead, Zach.
We don't need Drew.
So what's up, you're gay?
No.
That's what I heard.
Nah.
You're into recovery.
So I find, I guess, like, I get addicted to, like, everything. Like, your show, I started listening to it about 3 months ago, and I've been listening to it every night. It's on, and I have to get up at 6 in the morning and go to work, but it's like I can't go to sleep unless I finish it.
Good, that's healthy. I like that. What are you doing so early in the morning?
I got to go to work.
Well, yeah, what kind of job?
I work at an agri-center.
Agri-center, what does that mean?
Agriculture center.
But what do you do there?
I just kind of sit around, work register.
All right. Is this a summer job?
Yeah, just for the summer.
You going back to school at the end of the summer?
Yeah, Monday.
High school or college?
High school last year.
All right.
And so you're in recovery now.
The biggest problem I have is because, like, a lot of little things, and it's just like, yesterday I was watching TLC, I was watching some stupid show, but I started it, so I had to finish it.
I get that with modern
morals. Yeah, you're obsessional. That's fine. You're an alcoholic. That's part of being that.
Yeah, but
so how long have you been in recovery for?
The problem I was calling for.
Well, first of all, a couple of background.
I just seen this girl, like, 2 months ago or something, you know? And I was like, the whole time, been like, no, that's not going to happen. I'm not going to get addicted or anything like that. And that's kind of like, it's like almost like I want to sabotage the relationship because I'm starting to like her too much.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense.
Zach, you've been through a lot in a relatively short period. And you sound like an old soul. You sound like you're together, and maybe you're picking on yourself a little bit too much. I mean, you're in recovery, right?
Yeah, like I go to meetings like every day.
All right.
Yeah, but let's look at his recovery a little bit. This is where the problem's coming in.
No sponsor.
That's right. Well, how long have you been in recovery?
I got 9 months tomorrow.
And what does your sponsor say about this new relationship?
He says just kind of take it how it goes, but I kind of talked to him about the same thing, and he's just like, well, you know.
How long has he been?
Like, I see a psychologist. I talk to a lot of people, and they don't really have much of a.
How long has he been? Zach, listen. Don't just speak. Listen. Okay. How long has he been in sobriety?
About 3 years.
Yeah, he may need a little. You may want to get somebody who's got 10 years or so under their belt.
Really?
They're boring. Number two, what about the rule of no new relationships in the first year of recovery?
Yeah, but when you're 17, 9 months is like 6 years.
Well, but he's probably been with her more than a few months, and it's probably early in the game he got hooked on this. And the thing about, Zach, about recovery is people in early recovery do not have relationships. They take hostages. And that's really what this relationship is, another attempt to try to get away from the feelings you should be slogging through in your recovery. And so you may want to look at a sponsor who's had a little more time in the program. I think that's where the things are kind of going bad on you here.
Tracy, you and recovery? Were you ever into anything?
Oh, yeah.
All kinds of drugs?
Oh, yeah. And
like
I think
coke?
You just hit it on the head when you said you take hostages.
Was coke a big thing for you, like,
well,
back in the
me,
day?
Well, for me, it was sex.
Oh.
Big surprise.
Are you an SA person?
No, not really. My trip was that I thought that sex was power because I had my power taken away from me. The right of choice.
Right.
You know, early on. So I thought that this was a way of, like we were discussing earlier, of putting the blame somewhere. I can control this. This is me. This is what I can.
I know. It's always funny too when you picture the 18-year-old guy that hooks up with the 60-year-old Tracy, and it's like, yeah, man, this chick is horny all the time. It's great. And then
we talk to people, it's like you
don't know what you're. It's like you've just found some plutonium out in the desert. It's like, it glows, it's
great.
But
you're actually a hostage yourself.
But part of what we're pointing out is that how the culture doesn't alert people to women that are doing this. And so men, when they come upon it, just exploit it. And they think, the culture tells them, men and women just the same. And because I want to have sex all the time and this girl seems to want to have it all the time, that's a perfect relationship.
Yeah, exactly.
And it just ends up being an exploitative hostage relationship.
Mm-hmm. Jessica?
Yes.
But as far as hostages go, it's one of the top three, you know, as opposed to the one where you're blindfolded and beaten with a hose and dragged into an Entebbe airport.
I told you, Woody Allen's got a new film coming out about personality disorders that looks really good, about these kinds of chaotic relationships.
True. What, do you got a part in that movie?
I just saw a trailer for it, and I was so excited to see accurate, you know, human relations portrayed.
Focus on me for a while.
Yeah, for a while. The rest of the show?
Jessica? Yeah, keep looking at
he
me.
Wore his
but don't eyeball
for you.
Me. Yeah. Oh yeah, I may have to show Tracy my beautiful feet. As I found out from Lisa Durgan last night, I have beautiful feet. Jessica, go ahead. You're 14.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I was raped twice by my step cousin and my dad. I've never really.
Hang on, let me guess the age. 8 to 9.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just hear the,
hear
the voice.
8 to 9 year old voice.
Yeah. Oh, okay. No, I'm not 8 or 9.
Yeah, but that's what I hear. It's interesting that we notice
your voice stops at the age that the trauma started.
Oh.
And then if you get in recovery, it changes. It might change back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Strange.
Jessica?
Strange.
Well, I'm bisexual, and I've never really had a relationship with my dad. So, actually, I started dressing like a boy and tried out for football, and I did a lot of things to get my dad to recognize me. Mm-hmm. And he'd always hang around with my brother, and I really got really depressed about that.
Did you ever tell him that you wanted more attention from him?
No, I didn't want to bother him.
No, okay. Kids never tell them. They just do things to try to get it, and eventually it gets bad.
One of the important skills is to be able to learn to ask for assistance, to ask people to help you with what you're feeling.
But nobody wants to tell their parent to love them or pay attention to them.
Just pretty simple. Like, hey, Dad, you're always hanging around with Joe. Can't we do something once in a while?
I know it sounds logical.
It's hard.
I'm just saying the reality is kids won't do it.
Yeah.
Jessica?
Yeah.
So your cousins abused you, and who else?
And my mom's, I think, second husband.
Mm-hmm. But your dad and you, beside the part where he's spending more time with your brother, have had a decent relationship?
With my brother and my dad? Or...
Yeah. Okay.
Tracy, was there a time when you had sexual orientation questions? Did this affect with that at all when you went through all this?
No.
No,
really.
That didn't happen.
Always like the dudes?
Did you have periods? Periods of just you?
Always
just
did.
You?
Oh,
I always told you it was only you.
Jeez, you're so passionate about it. I thought if it's all men.
That one of the things that happens if people become sexually addicted and compulsive is they go through periods of hyperactivity and then long periods of deprivation.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have those deprivation?
Well, when I was a teenager, you know, there were girls. There were, you know, I was with women, but I never really saw the difference between the guys and the girls.
It was all just
it was just all, yeah. And then later on in my late teens, my early 20s, it was just never a thing anymore. I had girls, you know, hit on me in bars and places and what have you, and it was just never something that never rode that I went down again.
What about the deprivation? Did you have periods where you just shut down for long periods, or did that enter those kinds of phases?
Yeah, but I had periods where I just felt like I was outside of my body.
For just constantly?
Yeah.
I mean, when you're having sex or constantly?
Absolutely. Like, it was so disconnected.
The dissociation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you get those experiences, not necessarily with sex, but now you just have periods where you kind of dissociate a little bit and can't, you just learn to...
Not really.
Don't have that anymore.
Yeah. I mean, I'm so earthbound now, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Drew, you get outside your body when you're having sex?
No.
I do. I look down at myself.
You laugh?
And I beat off.
Oh.
I'm like, wow, look at that. That guy's getting laid.
God,
hold on, that's me.
That
wait a minute, I gotta get back in. And I try to go in through the anus. And let me tell you something, Drew. That's not the way to get back in your body.
For you, how do you find it?
You go the
like
nose.
Looking for Santa Claus's mouth.
you go through the mouth. Go through the nose. Do not try to re-enter that way.
Tracy didn't catch that one. I could tell.
All right,
she would have vomited. I think,
all right, Drew. Leave
see,
the girl
I just
alone.
Left my body.
See, she's out. Jessica?
Had to be done.
All right, so, boy, how about some therapy for all you've been through?
I've already been to counseling.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's something that's going to you need to stay with for a long time. Tracy, how long? Wait, hang on. Tracy can tell you how long you need to stay with therapy.
Well, you know, for me, it went in spurts. It was 6 years the first go around.
But it's not something that it's a couple of years. It's
no,
many years.
It was 6 years, and then it was a year off, and then a new therapist. And
mm-hmm. Another 6 years.
Oh, yeah.
Jessica?
And continues.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've been through a lot, and this is going to be an ongoing thing with you.
One of the sort of focuses of treating trauma now is making you less dependent or less apt to dissociate, better able to sort of regulate and flexibly have feelings without going into that out-of-body place, mm-hmm. which is what you learn to do when you're being traumatized as a child.
Sarah?
Yes.
You're 19?
Yes.
What's up?
I have this fantasy to fool around with a girl. I don't know if it, means anything or what it is, or if I'm just curious. But then I want to know also, if there's a way to tell if I'm just being curious or if I want to actually do something. Mm-hmm. Or, and then if I, you know, how do I go about...
So what stops you?
I don't really know how to go about doing it.
Mm-hmm. You in college?
You got it.
I will be.
Yeah?
Yes.
You will be?
Yes, I just graduated.
Oh, really? From high school?
Yes.
All right. What college are you going to? You going to a lesbian college?
No.
No. Okay,
regular community college.
Oh. Mm. All right. Everyone's suspect there. A lot of diseases floating around the community mm-hmm. college.
Oh, really?
As well. Oh, yeah. Crab Central.
Oh,
Crab
really?
And Herpes Central. They named the library at Valley College Herpes Library.
Really?
Yeah. When I was over there. It's still probably going on. Sarah?
Crab Patio?
Had the, they called it the Crab Quad.
Yes. You're right, I saw it.
You're out there?
Yeah.
Yeah, they had had Legion Hall. Yeah. I mean, never stopped. I imagine, I was gone before the advent of HIV, but we had the Hepatitis Dome. Mm-hmm, that's mm-hmm. where the basketball team played.
And they had their own basketball team, wow.
I imagine they would have something with HIV and AIDS as the years wore up. Sarah?
Yeah.
Well, look at it this way. I got to believe you're not full-blown lesbian or you would have pulled the lesbian trigger by now.
Yes.
I just think you would have.
Yeah.
And the fact that
you've been preoccupied about women, not just
Yeah. But you're curious. And, you know, I think we're living in a time when maybe all women are sort of biologically more prone to be curious than men. Men, no.
More fluid.
They're more fluid.
Yeah, women.
They're flexible.
Mm-hmm.
They're that's why they can fall into that back bridge. They can forehead on their knees. They're more flexible every way.
They have a much larger corpus callosum, which means that both sides of their brain communicate with much, much greater efficiency and effectiveness.
The part that's there that should be doing math has been pushed out by the corpus callosum, Drew.
No, it's just
saying it's a bigger part.
It's just distracted by the emotional part that comes across and distracts it.
That's right. It's like, what's 46 times 28? Let's see, carry the two. I'm going to kill my husband. Where is he? He's late. Is he cheating on me? That's why they can't do math. You realize to think about it. Your wife, every time she starts a math equation, thinks about cracking the whip on you, Drew. Can't get through it.
No, see, women can mm-hmm. just think about more than one thing at a time.
That's true.
Yeah, they're good at that. Yeah, but never one thing.
I know
thing.
It's baffling, the whole Mars-Venus thing, but...
Well, so women are more fluid and they're more flexible. So in the past, I think all of them have been capable of this, but society's kind of held them down a little bit. Society's like, listen, don't move, don't act on your lesbian tendencies unless you're really a lesbian.
Oh, she's going to end up in college. She's going to be at a party somewhere drunk. Yeah. There's going to be some other girl. And she's going to make it out with some chick, and she's going to see it's not that big of a deal.
Get it off her chest, and then
that's what I think.
And then move on to the dude. And then later on, her husband
it's a fantasy.
Can beat off to it. It'll be great.
Yeah.
Kelly?
Yeah.
You're 22?
Hi.
What's up?
I've been listening to you guys forever, and I just wanted to tell you that you've really had a positive influence on my life.
Wow. Mm.
Yes. Last year, I was really depressed. I was a senior in college, and I didn't know why, and my parents kept telling me, you have a great life, you know, you shouldn't be depressed. Mm. And, you know, I was tempted to believe them, but, you know, I had heard so many success stories from people who had sought counseling, including you, Adam.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Look at me.
So.
It's a huge success story.
Peeing in the sink, talking about my ass for a living, making jack-off jokes for 2 hours every night. Great.
So, so I did. I did go to counseling, and it was a very positive influence for me. And now I've graduated from college. And,
U of A?
And so I'm now planning to start a career helping kids with mental illness who get involved in the juvenile justice system.
Wow. Oof.
Yeah,
that's tough work.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
And I'm
why don't you just put out oil derrick fires or something that's a little more reasonable.
I know, but I feel like it's really important work. And
all right.
So the thing is that I have always planned to go to law school, but now I'm starting to think that I'd also like to perhaps get my PhD in psychology or maybe a master's in social work.
Great.
And I'm having a hard time deciding which path I should choose.
All right, here you go. Here you go, because I've got some strong opinions about this.
Okay.
First of all, we need to rescue you from that impulse to become an attorney. We need to rescue another great mind away from the waste.
Drew hates attorneys.
I don't hate attorneys, but okay. I think there's so many more if things that our society needs that your mind can be used for, that, other than that.
I know. They're horrible people.
B, I would strongly urge you to look into LCSW or PsyD.
What's that?
It's because Dr. Psychology, because you know you want to be a clinician. You want to work with people.
Right.
You don't want to be a researcher. You don't want to. PhD tends to go a little bit further into the more research oriented kinds of fields. And if you want to be a clinician, LCSW and PsyD, I think, are the best training for that and give you the most sort
of. Is a psychiatrist a clinician?
Yeah. You can go to medical school too and become a psychiatrist. That would actually give you the most sort of mobility with whatever
you want to do. Is a psychologist a clinician?
They can be, or they can be sort of more research oriented. So LCSW or PsyD, and look into the work of a guy named Peter Fonagy, who's looking at trying to break down the populations in the criminal justice system into people that have really truly treatable disorders as opposed to those who may be more intractable.
And he was great and easy writer. Hey, Kelly.
Uh-huh.
And you get all this and 6 years and 600 grand later, and then you come intern for us. What do you say?
Sounds like right? a plan.
Yep, you become the coffee queen.
Oh, no.
Lauren is still really angry with you. Look at her. She's like...
She's pounding with her arms
He was kidding. Please. He pretended he didn't know her name earlier.
And she has snacks in there, too.
I know. I just noticed my smoked almonds listeners send me smoked almonds, and then they become the communal smoked almonds. My lovely, beautiful listeners who know where their bread is buttered, and they treat their king...
How we'll get the stuff.
They adorn him with smoked almonds.
Anyway, Kelly, those 2 degrees, look into those, because you know certainly you want to be a clinician, and that's the best kind of training for clinical work.
All right. We got to break early, because I did spot those smoked almonds from across the room, and I got
to
get hold of them now. Tracy Lord's here. We'll be back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. You have a problem with those smoked almonds, Drew?
They're all over your hands. Look at that.
I washed them off. They put too much smoky almond powder on them, and I have to wash them off in my beloved sink, and then they get all gooey, and
I get these like
smoked almond noogies.
It's disgusting.
All right.
I don't get that.
You don't?
No.
You gonna give me a paper towel, buddy?
You want one? I'll get it.
No. That's not your job. I'll get it.
It's hard for me
all right, but can you carry? Can I trust you with the show?
No,
it's going to take 30 seconds.
I'll get the paper towel.
Because Drew will steer the show right in oncoming traffic. All right. Grab me brew, too, huh, buddy? Lock the door, Tracy. Tracy Lord's here, everybody.
Help me. Don't leave.
No, you're warming up to me. Yeah. Wow, back so fast. Thank you, buddy. All right, the book is called Underneath It All. It is 281 scintillating pages. Drew has read most of it by now. Yes, Drew?
For the beginning part.
Yes. Provocative, fascinating,
yes,
intriguing,
a human
informative.
Story. Really human story.
We recommend it. We give it our highest Loveline recommendation, which is a 6. Melinda?
6.
Yeah, our scale doesn't go that high. Melinda?
She's gone.
Hi.
Melinda gone? What's up? You're 22.
Hello?
Hey.
Yes.
Go.
I'm sorry. I've had two boyfriends my whole life, and I've never been the type to, like, sleep around or anything. And I have with two of, like, my guy friends, and they're also friends, but they don't know. And I'm not sure what I should do.
Dating two guys who know each other. That's what the screen says. All right? That's what's going on? All right. Do you like one of them more?
I'm not sure yet.
All right.
Who cares?
Well, what's the question?
We don't care.
Well, there's no question. That's why we don't care. Do you have a question for us?
Well, I don't know what I should do about it.
Keep dating both of them.
Do they both think they're your boyfriend?
No.
Okay, be honest with them that you're dating two guys. Don't let any of them sort of get into this boyfriend mode.
Well, they know they're friends, right?
Yeah, but they don't know that because it was just last night.
Well, they're going to find out.
I know, but they're friends, right?
Yeah.
Either make a choice or keep it free and easy.
You can't pick one that you like better. How about the taller one?
Okay.
All right, there you go.
All right, thanks, Miss Excitement.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy. Oh, my God. Let's never call her again. I think she was asleep. These people, I don't know what the reality. What do you think their take on reality is? I just call them. I'm dating to you. Listen, we don't want to talk to you. You got to have a pulse. And don't make it seem like we called you and bothered you with your own crappy question. You understand? You're asking the crappy question, not us. Don't act like you're bored.
You know, I was in the middle of the day and I started cracking up to myself about David Alan Greer and his sex act followed by sleep.
Yeah.
Do you have that on tape, Anderson?
You have that anywhere, Anderson? Because he doesn't have to pull it up this second. Yeah. That was cracking me up. He came over the next day, by the way.
He's been emailing me, like, it's scaring me a little bit, sort of stalking me.
He's got a lot of momentum, that kid.
And from the middle of the night, too. It's like, what do you think? Stay at the computer all night, Dave? What's going on here?
David Alan Greer is one of these guys where you go, we should hang out more. And then you hang out more, and you go, we shouldn't be hanging out so much.
You're freaking me out a little bit.
Yeah. God bless him.
Do you have that, Anderson?
I'm searching through the actual show, so give me a few minutes.
Okay. Can Anderson hear us, by the way?
I think so.
But doesn't he answer us when he can hear us?
I would.
Sorry, you guys couldn't hear me. I'm searching through the actual show. I'll find it.
Okay. Oh, you didn't put that in a loop automatically, huh?
Well, it was, like, really long, dude. Where would I put that?
Just the end part of it. This is that, you know.
Come on, dude.
Anthony?
Yes, sir?
You're 21. What's up?
Good times, man. Straight up. My question for you guys is, now that I've quit smoking pot on a daily basis, I've been having a real rough time getting to sleep at night.
Sure. How long have you been abstinent?
I stopped smoking about a month ago.
All right. Well, the irritability and the depression and the mood problems can last up to 6 months.
Mm-hmm. Is that something that would cause the panic attacks and the sleep as well?
Absolutely.
Detox.
And anxiety attacks while driving down the street, stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. Yes, yes. Yeah. This is all withdrawal.
Some of the herbal remedies.
Are there? Uh-huh. None that I'm familiar with. Tell me what you've come in contact with.
Even the little ones in, like, the rescue remedies and whole foods and can mellow you out.
So, what about
root and those tend to help?
Well, what about, at least just a placebo effect?
Well,
herbs don't work on guys. They only work on chicks.
Here's the deal, Anthony.
Because we don't believe it.
Oh, okay.
You're not doing
and we weigh more.
You're not doing any kind of recovery program right now, right?
No, I picked up drinking a little bit more heavily, but
right. Yeah, you got
a couple days a week.
No. Anthony, listen, you are going to replace the pot with something, either a behavioral compulsion or another drug. That's just the way this works. And the only way to stay stopped from the pot and other things is to get into a program of recovery. And lo and behold, the way the steps are organized with your sponsor, that by itself will help deal with some of the anxiety and depression, a lot of it, in fact. So go to MA, get involved in a program, stop drinking, because that's
join a gym.
Join exercise more, as Adam was saying, listen to classical music. The excessive drinking actually will accelerate the anxiety and the panic, too, and the sleeplessness. It just makes that all worse.
Hey, let me tell you this about my classical music theory.
Mm-hmm.
I told my retarded carpenter, Gary, today, because he's been effing up everything. I told him, stop listening to so much ZZ Top and put some classical on there, because you can't concentrate. Because if you think about it, if you have a guy yelling words while you're sitting there trying to calculate numbers, and you're trying to figure out what the reveal is or what the backset on this is, or you're thinking this thing's got to be 32 7/8 strong, and a guy's yelling about legs or hot-blooded. Oh, if I hear that if I hear that Foreigner song, hot-blooded, one more time, I'm going to put a sprinkler key through my jugular. Do you understand? But you got some crappy Eagles song blaring in the background while you're trying to calculate something. Does that permeate your soft brain?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know when you're so you're on the phone and someone is going, all right, here's my phone number, and somebody's yelling, you know, you screw the person up. You just start yelling numbers, and it doesn't take. Well, if you're trying to focus on something, you're trying to do an equation, you're trying to work something out, and you have a noise screaming words at you, don't you think that'd screw you up?
Yep.
I think people ought to listen to classical and get their focus back, goddammit. Thank you. See how focused I am about talking about focus?
When the music plays.
Yeah. Hey, dude, guy, bro. I got a clip if you guys want it.
Okay, let's
see. Oh, now wait a minute. Let's set it up. David Alan Greer, as we know him, Dag, was in here a couple nights back, and he was explaining. And he told me, by the way, the following afternoon that is what he does. He said he was, you thought he was kidding on the radio, but he said he got home that night, had a lovemaking session, and actually did that again.
Oh,
and then did it for me.
That's very great. Nice.
A command performed. Nice. So this is David Alan Greer having a little sexual escapade with his lady.
Rough trade, yeah.
Yeah.
Don't look at me. Don't look at me. I will give you something
now.
To smile about.
No. Am I mistaken? Or, you know what? We came this close to doing a radio show.
No.
This close. What's going to happen?
Something's not going to happen here. Are you kidding?
All right.
Anderson, something we should do before we keep talking? Or are we still on the air?
Oh, my God. Sorry, guys. I wasn't sending it to you guys, but I sent it to the rest of the nation. Apologize.
Oh, okay.
We just played it. Sorry. And I could hear it in here, and it sounded great. All right, I'll play it just for you guys now. Hold on.
All right. We'll play for everyone again.
We're still not hearing it.
All right, here it comes. Here we go. All
right. Don't look at me. Don't look at me. I will give you something to smile about.
It's not loud enough, though. I can't hear it. Anderson, we can't hear it. That's still funny, though. But Anderson, it's so soft. We can't hear anything.
Sorry, it was just soft to you guys. The rest of the nation heard it perfectly.
Okay. All right. All right, well, as long as everyone else is entertained.
Well, we're working out the bugs here, Adam. Sorry.
That's all right. No, I mean it. I mean, I'd rather have the... there's only three of us, and there's like 19 people listening, and, you know, the majority rules, right, Drew?
That's right.
All right. Philip?
Yeah.
You went on a hold for 114 minutes. I felt sorry for you.
Yeah, thanks.
What's up?
Well, my girlfriend's pregnant, and, you know, she's 16, and she wants to keep the baby, and I really don't... want to be a father. I'm not ready at all. And
true. She could have given birth for the time you've put him on hold.
Well, it's her decision, unfortunately. Well, not unfortunately. Unfortunately for you.
Right.
And maybe you can prevail upon her to put the child up for adoption?
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. She's really adamant about keeping this thing.
How about her parents? Do you have a relationship with them? Could you talk to them?
Not really. She's in a foster home.
Oh, boy. Oh, my God.
And she doesn't, you know, she kind of keeps away from her foster parents. You know, she stays out a lot and stuff. So
wow.
All right. Now here's my point. Hey, I want to put a deck on my house. I got to go pull a permit and blow an inspector. Really? She's just
Michelle's
hey.
Dad.
Yeah, I'm thinking about it. Seriously. So the deal is you know, she's just been abused. She's in foster care. Hey, she wants a kid. She wants to keep it. It's her kid. Just going to keep that, raise that in the foster family. Maybe some of the screwed up brothers can help raise the kid. Is it really? Everyone has this right? Everyone has this right. Like, I can't have a pot plant or a goddamn llama. Everyone gets to have a kid, no matter. Oh, you're 15. It's your kid. You get to keep it. Get to raise it.
Yeah,
really?
Horrible.
Really?
Yeah.
But I'm going to get a ticket if I'm driving around without my seatbelt on.
Let's get in touch with Arnold
really?
Schwarzenegger. We can do something about this.
Yeah. We got to straighten this. Straighten this country out.
Yeah.
It's like the biggest, most important thing, which is screwing your kid up, which proliferates all this stuff, which keeps all the prisons filled and keeps all the porn sets filled. I guess I have mixed feelings about that, but you know what I'm saying. This is what keeps all of this going on in this country, and this is the one thing no one's going to say anything about, no one's going to touch. But we'll tell you plenty what to do. Oh, by the way, I buy a house. They'll come in and change my toilet out for me because it's not a low-flush system. Really? This you got something to say about, but 15-year-old screwing up kids? No problem there. Your hands are tied? Don't want to get involved with this as a government? Pussies, I say. Philip?
Yeah.
I hope I helped.
Oh, yeah, that was good.
All right, you get her to give that kid up for adoption. It shouldn't even be an option.
All right, and Drew?
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to your book on August 21.
Great, thank you, Philip. I think it's an important book. I'll help you read it.
Yeah.
In the meantime, read Tracy's.
That's right. You read Tracy's, and then you go right into your book, Drew.
Right.
Yeah, it's called You Dovetail.
Yeah.
You feather right into
they,
it.
They fit.
I can't believe there's no politician that ever take a stand or bring it up.
Arnie.
And listen, I'm for Arnold, by the way. I don't care if he's a jackass. Gray Davis is a big pussy, doesn't do anything right. I mean, I've talked to Maxine Waters, that old bag. I mean, she just reminds me of an old homeless woman. She's like Aunt Esther from Sanford and Son. She didn't even know where she was. I talked to her about the morning after pills. She was like, Fred, you old heathen. Talking about the morning after pills, you never even heard of it. You know, politicians don't do their jobs. And let me tell you something about you politicians. How does it make you feel that anyone could just come in and do your job? You know what I mean? You're a physician. I'm a carpenter.
I'd kill myself if I thought some actor just come in and just start building a house. You know what I mean? Like, what if a guy just slid in? Oh, yeah, he's an actor. He played a doc. He guest starred on a role on a episode of Emergency in 1974. He knows how it works. He'll slide right in and start handling your patients, doing a better job than you.
Yeah.
Would you kill yourself?
Yeah.
I mean, as a politician, idiots, pro wrestlers, just come on in. Hey, doing a better job. Really? Doesn't that mean it takes no talent to do this? I mean, when here's the deal. If and when Arnold Schwarzenegger ends up doing a better job than Gray Davis, isn't it time for Gray to admit he has no discernible talent?
Laughing time is over.
All right. We're going to, I mean, I don't know who the last mayor of last governor of Minnesota was.
Before
but
Jesse.
A guy before this was wearing crazy sunglasses and a pink boa. Slides off the, puts a steroid needle down and slides off the wrestling mat, comes in and gets the city back in shape. It's the state going, really? It better than you? You really just need to kill yourselves as politicians. All right. We'll take a break. Tracy Lars here, by the way. Take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Who's coming in here tomorrow night?
Mark McGrath.
Oh, from Sugar Ray.
You can show him your feet. Whoa. Oh, my God. Wait. You got
a little smoky goodness from
smoky
there?
Yeah, smoky almond. And, mm-hmm. Get some pasta with vegetable before that.
No. Made oatmeal.
Oatmeal. That's
yeah.
What was it.
Living like a king. Opened three of those Instapacket things and dumped them in the microwave. Oh, yeah.
I need to have kids.
That's
what I swear
that's
to
what
God.
It's like when you're on top, kiddie. One day, you work hard and keep up with your studies. You'll be eating oatmeal for dinner. Yeah, it's a great wife I have. Jen?
Yeah?
You're 16?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh. Been on hold for 129 minutes?
Yeah.
Maybe a new Loveline record. What's up?
My question is, my dad told me one time when I was young that if I sat and I crossed my legs, that I would have trouble if I ever was going to have kids. Yeah. And I just wanted to know if that was true or not.
Wait a minute, Jen. Did he say, keep your legs crossed and you won't get pregnant?
No. He said, if you keep your legs crossed, you will have trouble when you are giving birth.
When you were how old?
Whenever it would be when I would have a kid.
No, when did he say this? How old were you when he said it?
Oh, God, do we have the world's dumbest callers.
My God, they are the stupidest people on the planet.
How old?
Eight.
Are you sure? Understand what I'm getting at here?
I thought I was asking how old she was when she got pregnant.
Do you understand what I'm getting
Between
at, though?
Between 22
and
27?
The dad comes up and goes...
Yeah, you're eight. Misunderstood.
You need to keep those legs crossed so you won't get pregnant. You know what I'm saying? That's
right.
What dad asked.
All right, so did he... Is your dad a good guy?
No.
Yeah.
No.
No, this is what
did he try to get your legs apart?
No.
All right. What happened? He got divorced and moved to Florida?
No. My parents are still married.
They're still married, but you don't like your dad?
No.
Why not?
Lots of reasons.
Yeah.
He was physically abusive and emotionally. And
look, that's the kind of guy that would walk by an 8-year-old daughter and go, you keep your legs crossed so you don't get pregnant.
Let me explain something, Jen, very quickly. Your dad's an a-hole, okay?
Okay.
It's tough. And no one wants to think their dad is an a-hole, but just do the a-hole math. Fully 65% of men on the planet are a-holes. You figure that's going to make for several million dads at any given time. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And it's too bad when they have young daughters, and young daughters look up to them, and they idolize them, and then they're horribly disappointed. That doesn't mean there's anything wrong with you. It means your dad's an a-hole. You understand?
Yeah.
You don't have to carry that around your whole life. What you do need to do is uncross your legs when you feel like it, but don't feel like you have to.
And cross them as much as you'd like.
Cross them as much as you like. You can even do it like Drew. Drew does it like a chick, where he actually has the knees over each other instead of the calf going over the knee, because he has no balls, because his wife keeps him in a mason jar in the basement.
Yeah, but he doesn't eat oatmeal for dinner.
How dare you attack me?
Meals made every evening.
I ate rattlesnake the night before and washed it down with yak's blood. Yes, Drew?
Yes.
Well, I was peeing in the sink. Jen?
Yeah?
It's a man. So, you got to get your grades up, and you got to go somewhere far away to college, and then you got to get into radio, and you have to make fun of your parents.
Stay there in St. Louis, go to Washington University. That'd be fine.
All right, just, you know, stay out of your dad's crosshairs. He's an idiot. I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry he's disappointed you. That's all right. Doesn't mean there's anything wrong with you.
Okay.
Okay? All right. People, this is a message we have to send to our listeners, which is just because...
I found it really... I'm sorry.
Drew just yawned right in the middle of my important message.
I saw a
message.
Really funny bumper sticker today. It said, friends are God's apology for family.
Yeah. Well,
boy, that's the Adam Carolla story. Is the subtitle under that.
No, but
right?
here's the reality. And, I mean, we all have our crosses to bear in this department, but... You cannot judge yourself based on your crappy parents and what they thought of you or whether they abused you or how they looked at you. Like, for instance, I didn't know I was a genius until I was 30 because of my a-hole parents. You don't know. Thank you. Thank you very much. Still no one will tell me, but I've discovered it on my own. It's my own secret. I'm keeping it from the world. But no, I mean, this person has a dad that doesn't pay attention to her, that's abusive to her, so she feels like a worthless person. It has nothing to do with the kind of person she actually is. She could be beautiful and bright and talented and whatever. She won't know it, and she's got to walk around under that shadow. Right. And everybody needs to realize that just because you got one guy drinks too much beer and is more interested in the Yankees than you, does that mean... You're a bad person.
Right.
And that's what life's about. It's about getting out from under that rock. Thanks, Drew. What do you want, buddy?
Pushing the button there.
Oh, come on, buddy. I was inspiring the nation.
You were very inspired. Let's keep going.
Oh, please. Yawning in the middle. Yeah, they think he's a smart one. Can you believe that?
Yeah. Michelle, 25.
Hello.
Yeah. So smart, he punches that mic like a speed.
Hello.
Hi, Michelle.
What's up?
What's going on?
What's happening?
Yeah, first of all, I wanted to say that I am a big fan of you guys.
Thanks.
I think you guys do great with the kiddies.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to congratulate Drew on his, 138 IQ.
Oh, thank you. You saw that crazy show, huh?
Drew did a clash of the IQs.
Yeah, that's how long I've been trying to get through to you guys, and I never get through.
Drew did IQ America about 4 months ago and beat everybody.
I've been trying to get through since then. I never get through, ever.
I scored a 91, by the way, when I took it online a couple days earlier.
I was 110. I'm average.
110. All right.
Yeah.
I don't know what percent smarter you are than me, though.
Well, 10% above average as opposed to 10% below.
Oh, yeah.
What am I below?
What's
you say above average? I see. Michelle?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's your question? What's with all the small talk? What do you want?
Oh, yeah, I was just wondering, I really,
like
really hate sex a lot.
You do?
And I do. And I was just wondering if there's like a female Viagra or something.
Why do you hate it?
Right.
I hate it. I don't like it. I don't get off.
Why?
No, I just...
No?
Are you straight?
Yeah, I am.
All right. Is there anything big we need to know about?
No. Trauma, no abuse. Sexual abuse. No, nothing like that.
Neglect, abandonment.
No, my grandmother raised me. Because
That's neglect and abandonment. Where's your parents?
I met my dad when I was 19. He was a slut. Yeah, he had five kids. I met them all when I was 19.
Yeah,
and where's your mom?
She lives a few towns over. We don't have a great relationship.
Why weren't you raised by your mom?
She had me really young.
Yeah.
And why didn't she raise you?
Because she was with a miserable excuse for a man that used to beat her and cheat on her.
How old were you when you left that environment?
I never left that environment. I was always raised by my grandparents. My mother left my grandparents' house when I was 3.
All right. That's a big deal, Michelle. Mm-hmm. That's a huge
deal. Did you think your grandparents were your parents?
No, I didn't think that. They were great to me. I had a great childhood.
No, I mean, when you were 3, you thought your grandparents were your grandparents.
No, I knew they were my grandparents, and I knew my mom was my mom, and she came to visit me like 3 or 4 times a week.
Yeah, that's freaky.
It's a huge deal.
Got raised by her grandparents, too, and she's a basket case.
You know what, too, though? My mom's still like that. Like, I still have abandonment issues from my mother. Yeah.
Of course.
I don't really see how that involves in my sex life.
Intimate relationship is going to trigger those feelings. You're not going to be open to intimacy, or intimacy is going to trigger very intense fears, and sexuality is very tied up to feelings of intimacy. And if you can't establish that, sex is going to feel sort of mechanical and detached, and it's not a good situation.
No.
Yeah.
No.
So how about a little therapy?
Are you on any medication now?
I am.
What are you taking?
I'm on Effexor.
All right. Well, that's going to shut you down sexually also. You understand that?
Well, what happens is I can't get off at all.
Right. That's the Effexor.
Takes me a long,
all right.
Long
all right. That's
time.
Effexor.
Don't have any kids. Do you have any kids?
I have two kids.
Oh,
my God.
This kills me.
All right. Talk to whoever's prescribing the Effexor. Talk to them about the possibility of Cerazone or Remeron or Wellbutrin or even Lexapro. These are medicines less likely to cause all that sexual dysfunction. Maybe that'll be better for you.
Right, man, I can't help myself. I got to go back to this dry well one more time. Michelle, listen to me.
Yeah.
You get some therapy, would you?
Well,
you're
going to
screw those
therapy.
Kids up.
You're in therapy?
Good.
No. I'm a really good mother.
Yeah, everyone says that.
No, I
Your
really
mom
am.
Says that.
I really am, Adam.
Yeah, I know you think you're a good mom, but if you're screwed up, it's like I'm a really great pilot, but I'm drunk.
Well,
you can't be good.
No, listen, though. The other thing is that I've worked at a nudie bar for the past 6 years.
Oh, my God.
And I'm a little bit desensitized to sex.
All right. Well, now you're Mother of the Year in my book. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I ever made those allegations about you.
I'm not a stripper. I'm not a stripper. I'm a waitress.
Okay.
And that's just my job. Then I come home, and I'm a mom.
Hey, everybody. I'm raised by grandparents. Doesn't know she's a horrible mom. Issues with sexuality. Coming up. Candy, stage 5. Stage 5.
Yeah, that's so not funny.
That's what you hear all night, every night, right?
No, what I hear is, why aren't you a dancer? Why don't you get up on stage? What's wrong with you?
Listen. How much are you going to make my case for being screwed up?
I didn't say I wasn't screwed up. I could fill your shift with issues.
Get some therapy and don't screw those kids up.
All that emotional material gets imprinted.
All I want to know is how I can, like, not hate sex. That's my whole question.
Get involved. It's not – there is a category – there's no book you can read. There's no simple solution. You need to be involved in regular therapy. One of the things you can do to help things along is get to a more appropriate medication that won't shut you down so much. And as I said, Remeron, Cerazone, Wellbutrin, Lexapro, those are your choices. Effexor can really shut you down.
Yeah.
But all those issues that you talk about that you overlooked will be imprinted on your children and passed along.
No, she's great with them.
Yeah.
But you know your heart's in the right place because you're making the call, and obviously you know there's something wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, she's a sponge ready to soak up knowledge.
Well.
Yeah, she's great. All right. Take a break. We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. Well, that's the show. Our good friend Mark McGrath is going to be in here tomorrow night from Sugar Ray. Good looking, talented, funny, smart.
You're jealous, aren't you?
I was talking about myself. And Mark's... No. He'll be in tomorrow night. Tracy Lords, I want to thank Underneath It All. Name of the book, Drew, substantial body of work here.
Absolutely.
All right. God bless you, Tracy.
Thanks, you guys. I had fun.
Good. You come back anytime you like.
Thank you.
So until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
If and when Arnold Schwarzenegger ends up doing a better job than Gray Davis, isn't it time for Gray to admit he has no discernible talent?
Laughing time is over.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.